All right, everyone. Welcome to today's Timely Topics of Interest Cyber Seminar entitled EHMP, Enterprise Health Management Platform to Replace CPRS, Possibilities for Re-envisioning Healthcare Delivery and Implications for Health Services Research. Thank you to CIDR for providing technical and promotional support for this series. Today's speakers are Drs. Mary Ward, Shane McNamee, James Hellowell, and Jonathan Nebaker. Mary Ward serves as VISTA Evolution Research and Development Manager, where she facilitates and coordinates research and innovation efforts for the VISTA Evolution Program in Health Solutions Management. Dr. Jonathan Nebaker serves as the Deputy Chief Medical Informatics Officer for Strategy and Design. Shane McNamee is a clinical informaticist, and he serves as the Director of Development for the Health Systems Management Office. He is a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician with both clinical and research background in TBI and polytrauma. Our last speaker is James Hellowell. He is a practicing primary care provider in Salt Lake City. He works in the Office of Informatics and Analytics as a lead clinical informaticist on the VISTA Evolution EHMP team. Questions will be monitored during this talk, and I will present them to the speakers at the end of the session. I am pleased to welcome today's first speaker, Dr. Mary Ward.
Hello, everyone. This is a thrill. It looks like we have about 501 folks today. It's really wonderful. So one of the reasons that when we started the VISTA Evolution EHMP program that I came on is because the vision for EHMP was it would be evidence-based and that it would be limited only by your imaginations, and that we needed to make this about research-informed and that researchers would be fully engaged in the ultimate product. And so EHMP stands for Enterprise Health Management Platform. And I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute, and then we're going to have a discussion about research, and then we'll have the demo, okay? James Hellowell is going to be doing that. And so the EHMP is but one project, or the cornerstone project of the VISTA Evolution Program, where we're planning to take the entire VISTA architecture, VA's VISTA architecture, and bring it into the 21st century. And so we say that EHMP is the infrastructure and user interface for this system that's going to replace the CPRS, but you're going to learn that the term interface should be in quotes, because the interface is going to be fully configurable by you, the users. So this system is going to have a data services engine, and it's going to have clinical data from a variety of sources and other records, and most importantly, clinical knowledge enrichment and clinical decision support services for you. So the value that we see coming to EHMP is that veterans will be fully engaged as members of the care team. One of our goals is to have veteran goals fully visible at all times in the EHMP system. For example, if a veteran says, my goal is to walk 9 holes of golf without going to the bathroom and without angina, then when you people treat that patient, they're going to be treating to that goal and considering that goal at all times. So we're going to be, this program is designed to address the entire healthcare team, including the veteran partners. So you can see here what the value is to the system, to healthcare teams, and to veterans. But what I want to move to today is to talk about the new EHMP features, and this includes intelligent filtering, text search, enhanced patient search, and context persistence. And that's going to be built into the EHMP, and James is going to be just demo in that work. You're going to be able to see an integrated chronological view of real-time electronic health record information, medication reviews, and you'll be able to timeline events, which is really powerful. Okay? So I want you to understand that EHMP is just a platform. And I want you to imagine that a fully configurable EHMP, EHR and interface where you as a user or you as the provider can configure this platform to your liking, and where you can build and access applets based on specialty care. So we are going to be, you're going to have access to a software development kit designed just for EHR, much like Apple has a software development kit for its applications, application store. We will have that as well. So we want you to be thinking about building and designing application algorithms to adapt population-based guidelines to individuals. So we know that most of the guidelines that we have out there are about populations and not individuals, and we need you to think about developing those. And we want you to start thinking about how you can develop care plans around veterans and patients' own goals. So now I want you to imagine that you're Donna Washington, the MD at LA, is doing some great work building predictive models and guidelines for to care for patients with unexplained uterine bleeding, and that she actually would prefer that the work that she does guides care rather than comes across as a guideline at the end of the day and asks whether or not you follow those guidelines. And so if we were Donna Washington, she may want to take that work that she's done and develop it into an intelligent system for EHMP. And let's suppose you're E-Car and her team in Ann Arbor, and you are fully understanding that the guidelines and performance measures can lead to inappropriate over-treatment. And she wants to develop algorithms for real-time support to make sure that the treatments are particular to the individual patients and not just the guidelines. And let's suppose you're Tom Imperiali in Indianapolis, who's been funded by HSRND. He's a gastroenterologist who is who's built predictive models to mitigate the risk associated with overuse of colonoscopies. And let's imagine that Tom can take that work and build an intelligent engine into the system for recommendations related to colonoscopy. And then there's Michael Matheny at Vanderbilt, and he has been doing work building risk models for acute kidney injury from cath labs, and he wants to build this model into the system. Then they would take these software development tools and work on building those engines into the system. So I want to just point out that Donna, Eve, Tom, and Mike are all HSRND-funded researchers who have models that can become either a part of the EHMP or an app for the EHMP. Now, I also want you to imagine this strange possibility that the alerts and reminders that you see in the system are annoying and frustrating and disruptive. If you can imagine that, I want you to think about how you could build those models into the EHMP so that those just go away, zap, they go away automatically because they're built in as a part of the intelligent system. Now, the other thing we need to imagine if we're going to be developing intelligent systems is that we can update these knowledge engines based on new research and new information. We also want to see researchers thinking about how to develop these kind of auto-surveillance systems so that the smart engine that you're creating today can continue to be smart as knowledge develops and emerges over time. Okay, so now you can understand that we're going to be posting our software development kit to a sandbox website that's external to VA, and so everybody within VA and everybody outside of VA can start developing these tools and developing this work. So there's much research to be conducted, and I'm going to turn this over now to Jonathan to talk about his vision. Dr. Nebaker, are you there?
I just got a text from him. He did have to jump over to that other meeting, unfortunately. So, Mary, this is Shane here. Really, if you don't mind, maybe I'll take that. The vision here is a truly long-term and integrated data set that is used both at the same time clinically as well as having advanced rapid access from a population analytics or from a research perspective. So we would no longer in the future need to maintain two separate data sets, two separate abilities to access healthcare information and to process healthcare information in the research phase. So that allows us to pivot very quickly, obviously, on new information to understand what's happening with the veteran population, but also to make sure that all of these things that we do, be it in the research moments or in the clinical moment, all happen in a very clean, integrated workflow fashion. So maybe slightly different than what Jonathan would have said, but hopefully that's within the spirit, Mary.
Yes, and I just want to add that one of the things we want to emphasize here is that we envision you're developing tools and the like to conduct research. And I think Shane appropriately alluded to that.
Right. Yeah. So very important that the that this platform that Mary's been talking about, it's not a what you're used to these days with CPRS, which is a single piece of software. And if you want to make any changes to it, you have to back the old one out and back, you know, put the new one in. It's much more akin to the phone in your pocket. And the metaphor, the example that I always use is when you want to download Angry Birds Holiday Edition onto your phone, you don't have to hook your phone up to your computer, wipe off your operating system, install a new operating system, and install, you know, the new Happy Birds, right? Or Angry Birds, I guess we're talking about. All you have to do is go to the App Store, and somebody has developed that in the past, and you can go ahead and pull that in. On the flip side, if you're a developer, you don't need to develop an entire full-stack application and do training and deployment and all the security pieces across from the VA. Rather, you can develop it like an app or like an application you would on your phone, which is much quicker, much cheaper, and then winds up with a product that is much more integrated into people's everyday life. Hopefully that isn't I'm not overstepping some of the stuff you said earlier, Mary.
Oh, no, you're not overstepping at all. You can see in front of you a list of possibilities for you of things that research topics that we want you to be interested in now and to think about now as we think about how to improve outcomes and care for our veterans. Any comments, James? If not, we'll move next to the demo, and then we can come back and think about how this your imagination can just fly about the possibilities after James does the demo.
Sounds good. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. This is James Hellowell. I'm going to see if I can get the right monitor to show here. That should work.
I'm just, while you're doing, I'm just going to add that, you know, ultimately we see all of the connected health work and My Healthy Vet and all that will be integrated into this Vista Evolution program. And so they're not, they should not be seen as silos and separate programs as we move forward. And as you think about a vision for healthcare delivery, James?
Okay, great. So can somebody verify that they're seeing my screen?
Yes, we can see your screen.
Thank you very much. Okay, so there's a lot that I could show you in EHMP. Hopefully a lot of you have seen demonstrations of EHMP before. If not, this will just be kind of a quick overview of some of the highlights, since we probably only want to spend about 15 minutes on this demonstration, maybe 20 minutes. So, starting at the upper left, I'll just kind of run through some of the functionality here, and Shane McNamee will jump in and add comments wherever he would like and help further explain any of these pieces. So, we have the patient's information here. And this is a spot where the patient's picture will go. And this particular patient doesn't have a picture shown, but we do have some test patients with pictures, so that is working. These are postings like you're used to in CPRS, if you're a CPRS user, where you get some of the most important information right on the patient bar, like allergies, for example. You can get details when you click in those areas. And then here's information about the PAC team, the mental health team, and information about who's taking care of the patient. So next here we have what we call the global date filter, and this is where you can tell the system what dates you're interested in terms of, you know, which data need to be returned. And we could get into more detail on that, but I'm going to rush through this a little bit. Here we have a selector, which allows you to choose from a number of different workspaces. The current workspace that we're on is the cover sheet. And we also have a search record option here. And I'm getting a message that my screen sharing paused, but maybe it's back on now. I hope so. Someone interrupt if things are not moving.
Looks like everything's good on our end.
Okay, good. So this is our search record functionality. It searches across the entire record, whereas in CPRS, there's not a function like that does not exist. Although you can search documents, you can't search across the entire record. So this is an advanced search functionality, which we can look at in a moment. And now what you see down here is on the cover sheet workspace, there are several applets, we call them, and they contain information from different clinical domains. In the upper left, you see an applet for the conditions. So this is the problem list. And when you click on any of these, you can start to get into some of the details, for example. Here we get some details about this problem. And then we also have info buttons implemented. So if I come over here and click this info button icon, it will take me to an external resource. And assuming licenses are in place to get to some of this information, you can, here's Stay Well, and you can, it automatically searched for heart failure because it knew that's what I was interested in. And then I can get to more information that way. So that's info button technology there. We also have, with these applets, they have different views. And so I can make this into an extended view by clicking this little icon here. And you'll see it'll take over the whole space, and I get more columns of information that will come into this view. And I can close that and get back to my cover sheet. We also, I'll show you under this appointments applet. So this is listing the appointments that are scheduled or have been completed. If I want to filter those down, I have a filter option here, and I can start to filter maybe just down to the urgent care appointments there, so you see how that works. And then moving on, you see immunizations applet here, the vitals applet here, the lab results applet. So the lab results, so we have different details for different applets. And so here's another type of details that you can get. So in this applet, when you go to the details, you get a graph of the lab values. You also get a table of the lab values here. And the lab value that you clicked on is also displayed up front here. So that's
James, would you mind kind of describing what an applet is and how they function in terms of space?
Sure. Yep, we can definitely do that. So the way the applets are laid out here, and this is the cover sheet, so I don't think it's going to let me do much in terms of manipulating, but I think what Shane's getting at, and I can move over to one of these other sheets for a moment. Let me just show you. We have the concept of, you might think of them as stock workspaces that come with the application, and those ones are kind of set up, and you aren't able to move those apps around or resize them and things. But when we have our user-defined workspaces, users can come into those and they can move the applets around on the screen and make them however they would like. So I'll try to just switch places between these two. And then they can also resize. Move this one up just a little bit. And then I'll try to make it a little bit smaller, let's say.
So what this, James is driving before this, and as he's driving right now, what this allows, this brings up a couple of really important things. What this allows users to do is to create screens that make sense to them in the context of their job with the types of information that they need. Well, on the development side, when I mentioned earlier these applets, if you see a conditions applet or a documents applet or a medications review, each one of these things just simply operates against the data that's in Vista Exchange. And the data that's in Vista Exchange, which is the new information architecture that sits behind all of this, is all of the patient's lifetime data across the VA, DOD, private sector partners. It's all normalized, and it's waiting for these applets to call it and to use it in different ways. So as this thing moves forward, the ability to create new applets, like the ones that you see on your screen here, is a very, very quick, very easy process that's supported, that doesn't necessarily need to be supported by a very large, robust development team. Rather, using the resource and application development kits, these things can get created very easily and then brought to the users very quickly so they can use them in lots of different ways.
Right. And while we're talking a little bit about these user-defined workspaces, let me show you another function that is available. And it's the that's actually not the one I was interested in. Let me click on this other one here. So users can come into a workspace builder that allows them to choose which applets they would like to show up on their screen. So here you see there's those three that are already there. But let's say that I want to add in lab results. So I can kind of drag that in here. And it's going to ask me to choose between one of three different views or sizes of applets. If I choose the expanded view, it'll give a bigger applet, but I could also choose the trend or the summary view. So let's go ahead and let's do the trend view there. And these are the available applets. And you can imagine that if you had an applet that your team built, that it could end up on this tray here of applets, and you could drop that into a workspace and kind of build a workspace how you'd like it. But let's just say done and show you how that works. So there's my lab results applet right there. And if I like how it looks, I could leave it. I could also start to change the size of it or the position from this location as well. So hopefully that gets you excited about the idea of you know, creating your own applets, whether those are applets that are designed to test a particular informatics question, or whether there are applets that support a research protocol. You can imagine how that these applets could be quite helpful in research. Okay, so I'm going to go back. We're getting a little bit sluggish here, but let me go back to the cover sheet real quick. And I'm trying to point out some of the highlights here that might get you thinking about, you know, what are the possibilities in terms of building applets and what kind of functions could applets have, you know, and how dynamic could they be. So looking through, notice that the allergies applet is a little different view. It has kind of a little summary there. You can get to the details of that as well. The next applet down, the community health summary. So these are documents coming from our community partners. And if I click on the Kaiser Permanente one here, for example, you'll see that this is information from Kaiser, just test information here. But this document is a summary of some information from that community partner. So that's another applet. And notice that on the orders applet here, you can actually choose from the different types of orders, and maybe you just want to see the laboratory orders, and you can kind of filter those down. So this is what we call the cover sheet. Now, I'm going to take you to another sheet called the overview screen. And on the overview screen, our applets, most of those are treating the information, the data, as concepts as opposed to records. And I'll describe what that means a little bit. So imagine you've got, one specific lab value for creatinine. And when I'm on a record view, what I see is that actual value just from that one test. So the test from today, let's say. But when we start to talk about the concept of creatinine, you know, that includes not just today's test result, but all the test results over time for creatinine, potentially. And so here on the overview, on the labs applet down here in the bottom right, what we have is creatinine listed, but that's not just the latest creatinine. Now, this is the latest creatinine, but it also is a reflection of creatinine over time. And you see that on this graph, we have both a black dot and an orangish diamond, and that actually represents the trend of that that lab over time. And in this case, the current value and the last value were the same, and so those kind of overlap. But you see on urea nitrogen, for example, the last value, which is the black dot, was a little bit higher than the current value. And as I get into the details here, I can start to look into more information. And this should bring up a details view that is a graph like we saw before. And it's a representation of that concept of creatinine, not just one record view of creatinine. And we have this principle applied to the vital signs, the medications, you know, even the conditions have some information about conditions rolled up, the visits, all of those different kinds of things. So just looking at the time here, so let me maybe just touch on, before I leave, I want to give Shane an opportunity to talk through any of these other applets that he'd like to, because I know that there's a lot. And some of these, he was an integral part of the development. So, Shane, anything else you want to touch on this screen?
Yeah, probably not in too much detail, but one of the things that you'll notice is trying to move away from this concept of data and moving towards information. So in the past, if we were looking at vitals, you'd have to look at blood pressure and you'd have to store them all in your head and try to figure out what's happening with them. But hopefully, moving into the future, we can get the computer to do a little bit more of that legwork and start displaying things more in types of information, pulling things together, displaying
applying them in actionable ways that are quicker. And you'll see that across the screen, whether it's in encounters or in the work that James did with active and recent medications to allow you to spend, you know, possibly more time with your patient or in a research perspective to get more quickly to the types of information that you want to. But I'm not going to go into any of the specific details.
Okay, great. So one other function that I would like to show you real quick here is on the conditions applet. And we have an ability for users to tie their workspaces to conditions. And I have previously set up a link between this condition and one of the workspaces. And so what you see here is this little tagging icon. If I click that, it's going to take me to another workspace that I put together, or it's actually a copy of one of the stock workspaces. And this is think of this as a hypertension workspace. So now I've just navigated to this from that conditions list. And while we're on this workspace, I'm going to talk through a few other functions here. First of all, like I mentioned before, these applets have different views. And so I'm going to show you on the vitals applet, for example, that if I want to change the view, maybe I want to see the bigger view, and so I can switch to the expanded view here. And you can see how that's going to rearrange things on the screen. It's going to make this a little bit bigger. And there's the bigger vitals view there. And then let me go back, and you can see that I can go back to a trend view if I want. And then let me show you next these filters. And so as we build user-defined workspaces like this, they can filter the data that shows up in the applet so that only the information they're interested in for this particular workspace comes through. And you see that for this applet, somebody has put in a bunch of filters of things that they wanted, and what that results in is that only the cholesterol labs are showing up in this applet at this time. But for diabetes, maybe you would have a different set of filters that would bring in the glucose and the A1C and that kind of thing. And then while I'm on the screen as well, let me talk a little bit about the Meds Review applet. So what we've done here with the Meds Review, like we've mentioned, you've got discrete record-based pieces of data, and an example of that for medications would be one order for a medication. So if I ordered simvastatin yesterday, that's one order. But then we also have this other concept, which is simvastatins over the lifetime of simvastatin from the first time it was ordered all the way through today. So you might have, you know, 5 or 10 years worth of simvastatin orders, and they get rolled up into one line here. And so what that means is that although this first part here on the left refers to information about that latest simvastatin order, the information on the right, which is a graphical view that can give you an idea about the adherence, the patient's adherence to the medication, and also some information about the current status of the medication and its life throughout its existence. But this graphical view, depending on how far you've set back your date filters, would bring in the orders over time for simvastatin. And you might see that you know, they first started it 5 years ago, and 3 years ago they stopped it for a couple of years, and then they restarted it. And you can get a graphical view of those changes. We also, of course, can get into some details about this about this medication. And you see, in this case, we only have one order. Let me see if I can show you one where there's actually more than one. I think on this furosemide, you will see that we have a couple of different orders rolled up into one. And so this is the latest one, but I can come back and I can see that previous one. And in this case, what happened is the patient was in the emergency room and they had a single dose of furosemide there, and then they were put on an oral form of furosemide to go home with in this fake patient's case. So And then let me just talk for a moment, maybe since I'm okay on time. The medications graph here, I'll talk you through that just a little bit to give you an idea of what we're trying to convey to the users here. So, for example, if we're looking at furosemide, you see that there's this green bar here. And that tells the user that this is when this medication was started for the very first time. Then you see a blue bar there, and that refers to a supply of medication that was dispensed to the patient. And the width of that bar is a representation of the day supply that was given. So I can tell, because I've used this a bit, that this is probably a 30-day supply that was dispensed, whereas these bigger blue bars under simvastatin were probably 90-day supplies. The background of this graph is a representation of the status of the order at that point in time. So you see, it's a little hard to see on this screen, but this is kind of a this background kind of has a gray hash lines on it, and that shows that this order is discontinued during that time. Whereas up here, you'll see that for simvastatin, that for all this time where the background was white, that's when the order was active, and then it turned gray, and that's when it became expired, and the red bar there is today's date. So hopefully this kind of gets you thinking about, you know, what's possible in terms of putting together applets to test hypotheses or to support other areas of research that you're involved in. And then I wanted to go to one more screen here, so let me move away from here. Before I do, anything you want to mention on this screen, Shane?
Oh, thank you.
All right, I'm going to move over to another user-defined workspace that I put together for this demonstration. And I want to show you something that we call stacked graphs. And the way stacked graphs work is we're able to bring in information about the patient's health into a graphical applet that graphs that information over time. And we can bring in information from various clinical domains. And here you'll see that I've got some vital signs listed. And I've got some medications listed. And I could put in some lab results. And now these are all graphed over time. They share the same time axis, and so you can compare across time what's going on. And in this case, if we looked through this a little bit, we would see that the patient has been on, in the past, these four different medications, or five, I guess, that can affect the blood pressure, and that for some reason the order was allowed to expire and has not been renewed, and there's been some time that has passed that you might conclude the patient has run out of supply and maybe is not even using these medications at this time. And as we look up, we can see that, the blood pressure having gone up would support that theory that maybe the patient hasn't been using these medications. And then also we see, I think, the pulse has gone up a little bit since maybe they're not using their metoprolol. And then the weight has also gone up. And based on what the other findings are, you might wonder, well, do they need another, course of furosemide for some heart failure? Since they're not on that furosemide anymore. So this is something that we really hope will help users come to an understanding of the patient's current state more quickly, especially when it comes to dealing with particular cases. So this graph may have been set up for a focus on hypertension and heart failure or other cardiovascular diseases. And, we want this to be kind of a quick go-to place where a user can come and quickly understand what's going on regarding this patient's hypertension and heart failure. Anything you want to add to stack graphs, Shane? If not, I'm going to come and mention something else on the conditions list.
Nope.
So one thing that we want to do, and this pertains to stat graphs as well, though it's still a work in progress, is we want users to be able to order these rows or these tiles of information however they would like. So you might have built this stat graph and realize, well, I would actually like the blood pressure to be above the pulse. And so I should be able to kind of grab that and move the blood pressure above the pulse and put that in line. And at this point, I don't think it's working. Let's see. Did that work? I think that worked. But this is a work in progress. It's a little bit flaky at this point. I think it does work over here on the conditions list. So we plan to do this on all of the kind of trend view type applets, concept-based applets. And so you see I just moved hypertension to the top. I could instead move, I could move hyperlipidemia just underneath that if I would like. And we can kind of put those in order. That's important for users to be able to put things in order priority. You could also envision maybe at some point we could allow users to kind of put order their condition list into sections so that if you're an ophthalmologist, you can put all the eye diagnoses into a section that you could refer to and kind of have those organized in such a way that it facilitates your workflow. Let's see.
So then, just from a research application, that may work well if you're working on a specific research protocol, say PTSD, or another common veteran issue that you're researching, and you have your research folks abstracting information. You can set up these user-defined workspaces and drag and drop things in terms of the types of information you need them to see quickly, so they can abstract. And hopefully you end up getting better, higher quality information for them more quickly and also paying less money to get people to do that very challenging level of research.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, those were the big things I wanted to share in the demo, and hopefully we've left a little bit of time for questions or to actually touch back again with Mary to facilitate some more discussion that way. So I'm going to turn the time back to either the facilitator or Mary.
Could I add one thing before we move on? This is Shane here again.
Yeah.
What we've seen here is something very similar to, well, hopefully quite different than what you see in CPRS today, but somewhat similar in the fact that we're in a single patient's chart here, patient female hypertension in the upper left-hand corner of the screen. And you can modulate and shape and use the data in different ways. One of the things that we're looking currently to develop is something that's been called the provider portal or something else along those lines, which is more related to the individual who is logged in. This may be your to-do list. This may be some population analytics upon your population in a variety of different things to help you do your job better. To be able to support those things, and this is a plan for the future, not something that we're doing right now, there are discussions about either modernizing the CDW or using yet another data cache similar to that we've got for Vista Exchange. So you could write applets to display information across an entire population and not just related to a single patient. Obviously, that can help for lots of clinical things in terms of driving care, but there's some pretty impressive research implications there as well. So that's it. Sorry, Mary, Jane, or John, James, rather.
No problem. Thanks, Shane.
Okay,
Mary,
go
ahead, Mary.
I have a slide up, and it includes a link to VA PULPS where people can learn about stay up to date with Vista Evolution, and they can also learn about the software development kit. And then we'll just move over if that's so. If you could copy that link, and then that will also be made available. And then we're ready for questions.
All right. Thank you, Mary. There are several questions here, probably like 30 or something. So I'll go through some of the ones that seem more important or the ones that came in first. So First of all, it's great that this is customizable. I foresee some issues related to that. For instance, suppose different medical centers decide to follow different guidelines and customize it to their own preferences. Who reviews the guidelines to make sure it's up to date?
Yeah, well, I can mention something about that. So we know that when it comes to, you know, these knowledge resources and, you know, clinical decision support, whether it's in terms of order sets that are driven by guidelines and things like that, we do require a level of governance and knowledge management, you know, techniques in order to keep track of these artifacts that drive decision support. So that governance would include things like, you know, keeping track of who's responsible for reviewing this in a timely manner. Maybe every year this guideline needs to be reviewed, that kind of thing. It might also include a feedback mechanism where end users, when they see issues with guidelines or decision support pieces, clinical reminders, for example, they could send information back to the responsible parties, letting them know that, you know, hey, maybe this is in conflict with something, or there's a new guideline out that we think you ought to consider. So that governance, that knowledge management piece is critical, and there, you know, we are having some discussion about that. But the VA as an organization will need to, you know, make that an important part of this process.
Thank you. Next question. With regard to graphing, is there any capability to graph, for example, lab results together with pharmacy information, such as dosages of outpatient meds prescribed? This would be extremely useful, for example, for therapeutic drug monitoring of drug blood levels versus doses.
Yeah, and I think that maybe that question came in before we went over the stat graphs, but that's exactly what stat graphs is designed to do. So hopefully that answered your question as we went through that.
Okay. How much of this can a veteran access and read themselves? Or is this only for providers?
Yeah, this is a provider view that we've been showing you today. You know, there are other efforts that are being geared towards, you know, supporting patients' needs. Shane may have some other information. I want to chime in here on that one.
I mean, currently at this point, we're clearly looking at a provider approach, also things that support administrators and other people in terms of the healthcare team. We are starting to work with Connected Health to try to bring in some more information that patients are putting into their own charts, be it their goals, values, and attributes and things along those lines. For the near future, it is likely that the My Healthy Vet or the Blue Button program that's been around for a long time is going to continue to do that. I've not heard any sort of plans to take that over and modernize that through AHMP. However, at some point that possibility may exist.
Right. It is possible that the EHMP view will be also viewable by patients.
Anything is possible, right? And that defines possibility. There are no current plans right now to go through the provisioning and all the other tools necessary there. Clearly, that's something that the VA could develop into the future. I will have to say, if we were to do that, there would have to be a much better handling and presentation of the information that would make it easier for folks who just really aren't schooled in healthcare to be able to understand their information a little better.
Thank you. Will researchers be able to pull data independently from the new system? For example, how many people in a clinic had A1C out of range, or a complex pulls with multiple filters?
Yes.
That's the whole point of those that provider portal and the population analytics associated with the EHMP.
Okay. One challenge that researchers encounter with CDW lab data is that one lab test may have many different names across time in medical centers. Will these be rolled up into a single lab results entries in this interface? Similarly, while the raw data may be accessible as values for a single test name in CDW, in general, will these data structures be accessible for raw data pulls?
Yeah, you know, there is some challenge when it comes to getting, you know, all the pieces of data connected the way they should because of the, you know, the way we have done things where, you know, the sites have had their local variations and things. And so we do intend to take advantage of terminologies like LOINC and RxNorm and SNOMED so that these pieces of data can be coded in such a way that they would all come together. And kind of be, you know, that will not only support these views that we're talking about, but certainly would help support research.
Yeah, and absolutely, and it's a fantastic question, and James's answer is spot on. When you look at the data structure that sits behind EHMP, this is something very new for the VA. This is, it's called VistExchange, exists in the Amazon Cloud currently, and is a real-time update virtual patient record. So all that's easy to understand. But the other piece of it is that it's also standardized by national standard codes. So a glucose that exists, let's say a finger stick glucose that exists within the chart is tagged with certain metadata along with a specific LOINC code for a finger stick glucose. So if at your facility you named it finger sticks glucose and we named it finger stick glucose, they are still both tagged with the same type of coding, so the system recognizes them as same despite what the terminology or the term or the words that we put, or rather the name that we've given it. So that is clearly the future of healthcare, and that clearly is necessary to dealing with a very dirty world's interoperability or data coming from different sites. But that is a core construction of the VistaExchange database that this sits upon.
Is there a way for non-VA research to access the information on VA Pulse?
I'm not sure what information you're referring to there.
Okay, that's all I have. If that person hasn't said anything else, I'll just move on to another question.
Okay.
How and when will EHMP be rolled out for use by researchers and providers?
Yeah. Go ahead, Shane. No, I want you to get it.
So EHMP is currently in IOC right now, which is part of our release process in the VA. It's a demonstration of initial operating capacity. We have six sites that will go into IOC for now, and that is in test sites. Within the next month or so, we are hopeful that they will bring the actual application into the production side of the house. And there will be a limited number of clinicians who will be able to use that at each site to test it and understand it and to use it. Really, the goal is by this time next year to have an application built that will be used more widely in the VA. And by the next end of the next calendar year, so that would be the end of FY16, perhaps closer to the end of close of FY17, the application will be used and available, hopefully, across the VA enterprise. When we say for all, that's a really challenging thing. We've dealt with that in JLV over the years. We just have to make sure that when we bring it out that the information architecture is strong enough that it can support users and stay high-performing. But realistically speaking, year and a half. I probably could have just answered it that way. About a year and a half that this will be out there for broad use across the VA enterprise.
Thank you. Let's see, next question. Can applets be developed for research recruitment pre-screening inclusion and exclusion criteria?
Yeah, I think that gets back to what Shane and Mary were referencing, and Shane mentioned this provider view that allows you to kind of see cohorts of patients. Those could be the cohort could be defined by, you know, a particular query that gets built. So certainly there, it sounds like there's some intention to to support that kind of functionality on that provider level view where you bring in cohorts.
Okay, let's see. There's still so many questions here.
Oh, I wanted just to add that we do a bi-weekly demonstration of eHMP with all the updates because it is a work in progress. And it's at 2 p.m. And if you, we send out an announcement about that. And if you would like to be on that list so that you can stay up to date with what we're doing, you can send me your email address and I will forward it to the person that is maintaining that list. I saw that there was some concern that Pulse is only available to people within VA, but anybody can attend the biweekly update sessions. Thanks.
All right, let's see if we can get in a couple more questions before the end of the hour. Is there a section storing information on social determinants, like homelessness?
You know, there have been discussions over the years, I think, about the need for, you know, a way to keep track of some of this stateful information, like social history. You could envision that kind of information being part of that. We don't currently have a social history list, per se, like we do a conditions list or a problem list in CPRS. So we do have that on our radar for eHMP to create, you know, that kind of a functionality, and it would be, you know, more robust than simply storing these as health factors, as sometimes happens at local sites.
Yeah, as part of the ability to modernize Vista, we clearly need new data elements. It's just simply part of it. We've been kind of stuck with the same data elements for a very long time and can't do things that the ONC requires us to do, like smoking status or capture family history or other important social histories, or God forbid, a last menstrual period, or a fundal height, or some of these very, very important clinically relevant data points, and socially and research as well. So there clearly is a pathway within Vista Evolution, not necessarily directly in the eHMP project, but within Vista Evolution to hopefully begin to start to modernize, well, that's probably an overused word, to expand the number of data elements out there that we can use, save, and use in different ways.
All right. Thank you so much. It looks like we're out of time. Heidi, can I turn things over to you?
Yes. I'm just about to close the meeting out here. For everyone who's on the call, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us for today's session. I know that we do have a lot of outstanding questions here. We will see what we can do about those. Hopefully they can be handled on the biweekly update calls, or we'll figure out some way to handle all of this. Thank you, everyone, for staying. I'm going to close the meeting out, and you will be prompted with a feedback form. We really would appreciate if you would take just a few minutes to fill that out. We really read through all of your feedback and use that for our sessions. For our presenters, I really want to thank all of you for taking the time to prepare and present for today's session. It was a great session with obviously a huge amount of interest in the session. So thank you everyone for joining us for today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar, and we look forward to seeing you at a future session. Thank you.
Thank you.